I'll just have all the choir come up, get the choir off, and start the service in about 2 minutes.
They all walked away with nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so long? From afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done. They'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She heard them call him just a man. Oh, but deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again.
Then came the morning, the night turned into day, the stone was thrown away, across with the dawn. Then came the morning, shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost, and life had won, for morning had come. 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 Then came the morning, the night turned into day, the stone was thrown away, across with the dawn. Then came the morning, shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost, and life had won, for morning had come. Death had lost,
page 150 in your hymnals. That's what we're celebrating today, that morning of the resurrection. 150. Everybody take a hymnal. Let's stand and sing all three stanzas of He Lives. All right. I see people still turning. You have it? Let's sing together.
I turn my head to the
above my terror way, he lives, he lives, he lives.
when we get to the choruses last time, put your books down and really sing out, and we'll slow the chorus down just a little bit so you can enjoy it. On the last now, rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians, lift up your voices, sing. Eternal hallelujah, to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the hope of all who
this morning. Boy, it's good to be in church on Easter Sunday, and I'm glad you're here. Good to have the visitors here. Appreciate so much you making your way out. We're going to have prayer together, and then you and the audience can be seated after we pray. The choir will have another number to sing, so heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Aaron Martin, you lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you that we're able to come together this day and to remember the resurrection of you, our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that on this day, the day that you came out of the grave, you showed forth that you were still alive. And Lord, I'm thankful that you're living. You're not dead. You're not some of these other quote-unquote gods that said they were you. Lord, you are the true Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that you didn't stay dead on that cross. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge you. And Lord, we also would just want to bear somebody with you that they have not met. Come across you as they're living. And the Lord today.
Yes, Lord, do that in
the a better day. No, a resurrection Sunday. No, they have their first day. Thank you again for all the visitors. Or thank you for everyone that's here today. We want to honor, worship, and praise for these things.
Amen.
Things happening in Bethlehem. From a stable, a lovely light glows within. Is that a baby crying? There's excitement in the wind. Something's happening in Bethlehem.
Something's happening in Pilate's hall. On the porch, Pilate pleads with an angry mob. In this man called Jesus, I can find no fault. Something's happening in Pilate's hall.
Something's happening at Joseph's grave, where Jesus of Nazareth has laid 3 days. Very early in the morning, how the earth began to quake. Something's happening at Joseph's grave.
Oh,
you enjoyed that, say amen. Amen. Now I can talk. Well, I can't talk. I need a drink. Glad to have everybody here today. Thank you for coming to celebrate Easter Resurrection Sunday with us. We're going to give you a chance to stand and let the choir come down. So if you will stand, let's have a little time of fellowship together. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, choir, for that good singing this morning. And you, if you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. And again, I want to welcome all of you to Anchor Baptist Church on a beautiful Easter Sunday morning. And we so appreciate you being here. And you that are visiting, thank you for being here today. Good to have Miss Ramona's daughter, Sharon, and her friend Joe here with Rob. Rob, got to get right, Rob. Get the name turned around here. Don't want to do that. We're glad to have them here with us today. And then Miss Coleman, good to have Miss Coleman. She's been here before. Good to have her today. And then Janelle, that's his Jen's sister, and her friend Joe Sprouse, right? Get that right? Good. And then Landon is the grandson, and Jessica's here somewhere, the daughter, somewhere around here. Might be in the restroom back there. But anyway, good to have them here with us. And Brother Robish is back with us. Good to have you. And then, let's see, Brother Daniel's got a pew pack just about here. I'm telling you, had to share it with a couple of Brother and Sister Dunlap's children. All three of their kids are here with them today, and they're all excited about that. And the two boys have broken loose and got their own place now, but daughter's coming home. So that's the way it works. You just kind of shift them around a little bit, you know. But we're glad to have all of the young folks, all their children are here with them today. God bless you for being here. Where's Miss Poland at? Where'd she get to? Oh, there she is. She hunkered down. I know. Yeah. I tell you. I usually pick her right out, but she's sliding down in the chair back there. So anyway, good to see all of you here. I'm looking around at Miss Samuel, Nathan. Good to Nathaniel. Good to see you here today. And Victor's here and got a friend with him. Tell us who she is, Victor. Katina. All right. There you go. I know we're glad to have you, ma'am. And notice he didn't have a bit of troubles. He didn't have to think twice about that. He said, my lady. All right. Good to see you. God bless you. And then Susan got two of her grandkids here with her this week. I mean, we're just glad. That's what Easter's all about, kind of like, you know, having family together and all of that. And so we're so glad that you're here with us in the service today. Let me do a couple of things real quickly. As you know, we always place Easter lilies in honor or memory of folks at this time of the year. So let me just read these quickly. There are six of them here. It says one lily is placed in memory of Bobby Alexander's parents, Royce and Louise Cox. One is placed from Stephen Todd, and Brother Stephen and his wife are in Greenville. Their granddaughter's getting baptized today, saved and in church up there in Greenville, so that's where they are. But Stephen's placed one in memory of his parents, LaVon and Mary Todd. One is placed from Joaquin Mercado in memory of Bill Chalmers. And if you didn't know, Bill's was very instrumental in getting Joaquin to the Lord, and they worked together over at the VA, and Bill's in heaven now. Another one is placed from Sabine Mercado in memory of her father, Herman Greeneller. Am I saying that right? I didn't think I was. Brenda. Is that right? Close enough? That's what I say when folks try to say my name. Tell them Smith or Jones. But he's in Germany. And so we appreciate that. That was Sabine's dad. And then one in memory of Ralph Hale's parents, Alton B. and Bessie Lee Hale. And one in memory of Etta Mae's parents, Johnny M. and Thelma McCall. All right? And so we always try to do that at Easter and Christmas to remember or to memorialize those who are either here and just want to be honored or have passed on. And so those of you that have bought those and done that, you can take them after the service this morning or after service tonight, however you want to do that. The flower is yours. Okay? All right. And two other things I want to mention real quickly tonight. Number one, I've already checked with the boss man. We're not having choir practice tonight. I was waiting for that time release cheer right there from the choir. You know, yeah, they all look like, did he say no choir practice? So no choir practice tonight. And we're going to start tonight's service at 6:00 instead of 5:30. We're going to have an extra 30 minutes before we start. We are having church tonight. We're going to start 30 minutes later than we normally do, so you can spend a little bit more time with your family. But we do want you to be back tonight, all of you. Man, listen, please come back and be in the service tonight. I'm going to be preaching, of course, on the resurrection this morning. But tonight I'm going to preach on what would have happened had there not been a resurrection. And so anyway, you come back and be with us tonight. And then, of course, Brian's going to come give us other announcements. And I'll just mention, Brother Brian, the revival meeting that starts a week from today. April the 28th is Brother Brian Gurley. He'll be here Sunday through Wednesday. So five services. We'll have the choir each night, special music each night, nursery provided. We're getting the invites out to everyone, the other churches in the area. A lot of churches are having meetings this time of the year. This is just that time. So obviously can't get to all of them. They can't all get to ours. But certainly we'll do our very best to open the door for anybody who'd like to come. And so we certainly want to invite you. The revival service is starting next Sunday and going through Wednesday night. Okay? Come on, Brian.
Thanks for being here on a beautiful Easter morning. Now, today is Easter, but after today, it's Ladies' Jubilee Week here at church. So we got all kinds of stuff going on in lead up to Saturday, which is Ladies' Jubilee. I think by now, most of you should know about it. I'll tell you what, we got a crowd coming on Saturday. So we're going to need all hands on deck Saturday. And let me tell you what we're going to be doing this week. Now, Wednesday doesn't have anything to do with Ladies' Jubilee, but it's just our Wednesday night service. However, if you have some items that you are bringing for the Ladies' Jubilee, like door prizes or goodie bag items or anything that might be needed for the Jubilee, we're asking that you bring that here by Wednesday night. So it'll be here and we'll be able to put it where it goes for Saturday, okay? So you ladies remember that. Now, Thursday, I've heard there's going to be a big cookie baking expedition here at church. Now, Miss Laurelie Thompson, sorry, Miss Laurelie Thompson, she's baking a whole lot of cookies, okay? And she's asking any ladies who want to be here to help with that, anytime after 4:30, if you want to come, and they've got ice cookies, and I don't know much about that stuff. I'm just watching on TV sometimes. But if you know what you're doing when it comes to baking cookies, why don't you come on Thursday, anytime after 4:30. I don't know how long that'll last. You got a lot of cookies, but you'll have a good time at the same time. So if you have any questions about that, see Ms. Thompson there, and she'll get you pointed in the right direction. Now, Friday is the work day for the Jubilee. And did we set a start time on that? Start time at 10 o'clock, and that'll go until the grounds are ready for the Ladies' Jubilee. So we're asking men especially to come and be ready to work in the grounds, work outside. So that'll be Friday starting at 10 and going to whenever. So if you can get off work early and come, you'll be ready. Boss has a comment about it. Go ahead. Okay. I want you to stay safe from hand injuries. So if you have gloves, bring gloves, okay? We don't want it. Well, that's what they're for. We don't want you to get injured. So bring all your personal protective equipment, as they say where I work. You get in trouble for not wearing it where I work. But make sure we want to keep you safe. So men, bring your stuff. If you got rakes and, well, I don't know, if you got stuff, just bring it. Why not? We'll find a use for it. So that will be Friday from 10 o'clock in the morning on. And then Saturday, of course, is the Ladies' Jubilee. We're just going to come, and I think the men are going to come early, 9 o'clock for the men to come early and pray and get ready. And then the Jubilee itself will start at 10. But if you want a good seat, you might want to get here early. That's all I'm going to say. So we're looking forward to that. Pastor mentioned our revival next week. Next Sunday night, that's the 28th, next Sunday night, and we're having a revival, but we're also having a fellowship after the Sunday night service. If you want to help with that, ladies, and we need you to help, for the menu, meet in the ladies' Sunday school class after the service this morning to talk about the menu for next Sunday night's fellowship. Did I cover everything? That was a lot of stuff. I think I'm doing all right. All right, happy Easter to you.
I have nothing to say.
Number 295. Let's stand again and sing One Day. Number 295. Sing out now. One day when heaven was filled with His grace. Second verse, that first verse, talks about His birth. Second verse talks about Calvary. We talked about that last week. The third verse talks about the grave. We're celebrating the grave, or actually the resurrection today. We're going to move to the fourth verse. That talks about His resurrection. And the last verse speaks of our resurrection. So we're going to sing the fourth verse and the fifth verse. We're going to speed it up just a little bit. But we get to that chorus, really sing out. Okay, on the fourth now.
One day the grave could conceal it no longer. One day the soul. Mary, he carried by the world.
trio coming to sing for us.
They led him up a hill, his final destiny fulfilled. A weakened body, three nails. Satan thought he had prevailed as he hung his head and died. Please forgive them, my Jesus cried. They placed him in a tomb, but Jesus came out alive on that resurrection day. The storm was rolled away. Death's power could not hold him. He could not stay. Now my life has been rescued, and my soul has been saved. All because Jesus came out of the grave. When my time comes to leave here, and they lay me in my grave, I have this assurance that I know that I've been saved. So friend, don't worry, don't even shed a tear, 'cause I have heard the voice of Jesus saying, child, you're welcome here. On that resurrection day, we'll be called away. The dead in Christ will rise. We'll see Jesus face to face. Oh, what a celebration! Hallelujah, I'm saved. Oh, because Jesus came out of the grave. Oh, what a celebration! All because Jesus.
And it's all because Jesus.
All because Jesus came out of the grave.
Amen. Thank you, trio. Amen. Well, I'm glad he came out, aren't you? An old song that says, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. And that's right. Well, one of these days, the rapture is gonna take place because of the resurrection. Well, come on, ushers. Let's take care of the offering. Then we have another special this morning. While they're coming, I wanna say thank you to our folks for all the hard work up till now, and we're getting ready for the Jubilee. Listen, if everybody shows up, said they're coming, we'll have 350 women in here. That's what we've heard from up till today. Is that right, Miss Judy? Yeah. So we're going to have chairs all over the place, and the back rooms are going to be opened up. I mean, yeah, if you want a good seat. And by the way, let me just say, it's just as a reminder, and we'll mention this again, that when our folks get here next Saturday, park back behind, don't park on the parking lot. We'll park on the grass and behind out here. Of course, we're going to need all that too, but we want to keep this part open for the ladies as they come. And of course, the tent will be right here. It's supposed to be 80 degrees and partly cloudy. Man, isn't that a whole lot better than 110 and really hot? So it's going to be nice out. No, we don't have to worry about the weather. Everything's going to be beautiful. And we're really looking forward to having a good time next Saturday. And so just keep that in mind if you would. Okay, and then in our Sunday school, I want to commend you. Our Sunday school is growing, and we're glad for that. Today, we missed, for the first time, we would have had every class in double digits. The youth only had 9. But Jake and Ryan are not here today. And they're always, you know, they're every other weekend with mom and dad. And so if it wasn't for that, we would have had double digits in every Sunday school class today. And that's a great, that's a commendation to you for your hard work, effort, and faithfulness. Let's continue to do that. Let's keep get this thing growing for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Rick Richardson, you play for the offering, please.
before Pastor comes this morning, we have the blessed trio coming to sing.
She thought he was the gardener when she met him on the way. She had gone to see the tomb where Jesus lay. But when she heard this stranger speak, "Mary, I'm the one you seek," she ran to the disciples, and through her tears they heard her say, "When he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When he spoke to me, he called me by my name. The stone that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same.
For years I walked without him, living only for myself. But that only led to pain and misery. Then in my heart I heard him say, "Child, there is a better way." So I knelt down at his feet and felt his mercy cover me. When he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When he spoke to me, he called me by my name. The storm that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. The storm that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. Be the same.
What a difference, Jesus makes. If you get a chance now to hear the singing, brings us to this point where we can hear the Word of God. Pastor?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Enjoy that good singing today. That good? I tell you, this is my favorite time of the year, because if it wasn't for today, Christmas would be of no value. And any other time would be of no value. If Jesus was not alive, then we'd be of all men most miserable. And we've just wasted, I've wasted 40 plus years of my life trying to serve the Lord since He saved me, if all of this is not true. I'm glad to report that it is. I've believed it ever since I found out about it. And that didn't, just because I found out about it didn't mean that it was true. It was true before I found out about it. I'm glad He allowed me to find out and get and come speak to my heart, save my soul as a 17-year-old teenager. Matthew chapter 28 this morning, as many of you would consider. Matthew 28, probably the most part of the Scripture, the Gospel part of the resurrection that has the most in it. We want to use that, although you find portions of it as well in Mark, Luke, and John, because it's important. It is part of the Gospel. The Gospel of Jesus Christ is the death we celebrated this past week, the burial, and the resurrection. And I like to say that the ascension is also part of it. And I might touch on that Wednesday night if the Lord will help me. So all of that proves that Jesus Christ was, and will always be the Son of God. That He is the Savior of the world. And so this morning, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 1. Let's all stand, please, if you're able. You can stand with me as we reference to the Word of God. We'll read a few verses and then we'll pray. Matthew chapter 28. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said, "In the end of the Sabbath." Remember, the Sabbath in the Jewish calendar is on Saturday. We're now into Sunday morning. As it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things were done. And they were assembled with the elders, had taken counsel. They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, he will persuade him and secure. So they took the money and did as they were taught. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for the time that we celebrate. We worship a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. Lord, I'm glad that I know the truth of the resurrection. I know that the only begotten Son of God is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father. God, I'm glad that Jesus is still doing his saving work here in 2019. Lord, I pray and thank you, Father, for everyone that's made the effort to come out today and be with us here at Anchor. Lord, I pray that now the time of the Word of God will speak to their heart. And if there's someone here lost, and I expect in a crowd of this size, there probably are, Lord, I pray that the Word of God will speak their heart through the Holy Ghost, and they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. Others who are away from God or just don't seem to have the time for Him they one time did, the Lord, just stir up their heart by the way of remembrance. Help them, Father, to come back into the fold and serve the Lord Jesus, for truly He comes quickly. Father, bless your message now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We like to refer to this day as Resurrection Sunday. Now, the world calls it Easter. The word Easter is found in the Scripture one time, just once. Now, the word that it's translated from is found several times throughout the Scripture in different forms, but the same root word. And so, the origin of Easter as we know it, Easter as the world knows it, comes from a pagan holiday called Estra. It's spelled Easter, but the R and the E are reversed. Estra was a pre-Germanic pagan holiday, but where people in those back in the Middle Ages celebrated at the time of the spring equinox. We call that day spring, when the first day of spring. If you'll remember in school, on the first day of spring at the equinox, that the teacher would take us outside with an egg at 12 noon on the I don't remember which one, it's the spring one, I don't remember what they call it. Anyway, at 12 o'clock noon, the earth is right where it should be so that you can stand an egg up on its end and it won't fall over. Just a few seconds. As the earth changes and rotates on its axis, you know. So there you go. I see that really impressed you with my knowledge. And, anyway, come back tonight, I'll give you something else, right? I'll show you how to scramble that egg. Amen right there. But anyway, some of the things that are celebrated and used in what we call Easter, for example, started with this Estra, for example, the Easter Bunny. Now, we all know that a rabbit is known for reproduction. And so, literally, they use the Easter rabbit as a sign of fertility. The Easter egg. They had multiple eggs, again, a symbol of reproduction. They dyed, colored the eggs. And those colors, the main colors in those days, they didn't have, you know, the dyes that they do now where you sit around and boil the dye and dip it in, you know. They would color the eggs in what were considered to be spring colors. All of it was a time of worship for the spring god called Estra. The Easter basket would take baskets and fill them with goodies, candy and bread and all the good things, just like they do now. And those baskets were filled as a symbol of blessings from the little g gods. Now, you understand, I'm not trying to burst anyone's bubble here, but you understand that Satan always has a counterfeit to everything that God has. And so when you look at what we call Easter, and in fact, just hold your place there. Turn to Acts chapter 4 for just a moment, or Acts chapter 12, I'm sorry. The only time that the word Easter is found in the Scripture in the form as we know it, E-A-S-T-E-R, found in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 4. Acts chapter 12, we'll just begin reading in verse 1 quickly. About that time, now this is after Peter and all the other disciples have been arrested, been persecuted, they've been told you cannot preach in the streets. They kept on doing it because they knew that's what God wanted. Here the Bible says, about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Talking about Peter and James and John, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. So here is the first martyrdom of one of the first disciples, James. Remember, it was Peter, James, and John that seemed to be that trio that were always somewhere doing something. Well, Herod has killed John with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also for the days of unleavened bread. Now, that is the Passover, right? And when he had apprehended him, put him in prison and delivered him to four Aternians soldiers, keep him, intending after Easter, bring him forth the people. Now, the reason that word is used here, not in the sense as we know Easter, but the word Easter is connected with the Passover. And the word that it's translated from in the Greek is the word Paschal. You've heard that word before in some songs and things. Paschal lamb. Paschal or Paschal lamb, however you want to say it. Depends on where you're from, I guess. Anyway, that was the lamb that was killed at the Passover. You remember in Exodus. And God said, Pharaoh said, I'm going to let your people go. But of course, he kept them on until finally that night, death of the firstborn. And God told Moses to tell the people to kill a lamb of the first year without spot or blemish. Take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and over the lintel. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's what happened. And so then God instructed those Israelites after Passover, death angel had passed over, that they were then to eat the lamb. They were to cook, roast, and eat the lamb as part of that worship of God passing over. And that's what the Jews do yet today in what is called the Seder. And they've been recognizing that through these days. Now, the Passover occurred in the month Nisan. That's just spelled just like the car, Nisan, but that's April in our calendar. That was the first month of the Jewish calendar for 1 week. You remember that God instructed Moses for that week. Every year after that, they were to have the Passover to remember how God rescued Israel out of Egypt and how God passed over the people of Israel if they applied the blood of Jesus Christ. Easter holiday is, in fact, a God-made holiday. The Passover is part of it. And then, of course, now, in the Bible, where we read in Acts, what Herod was afraid of was the message of Easter, or the Paschal Lamb. And so he wanted to wait until all that religious stuff was over with. And, of course, God rescued Peter and John from all of that, and you know the story down the line. So just want you to understand where Easter came from for us, and how that Satan has counterfeited God's Passover. Now, I want you to notice real quickly, look at verse number 1 back in the text. I want to preach a moment on the first Resurrection Sunday. That's what we're reading about here. Notice, number 1, the approach of the women. Now, Jesus has died and he's buried. No doubt about it. That's a fact. That's a historical fact as well as a spiritual fact. Now, where it divides is why it happened. The world sees it one way, and we see it another way. But what happens is, early on the first day of the week in the Jewish calendar, Sunday was our Monday. We call it the Lord's Day, and that's where it started. But Jesus, has already resurrected at this point. Now, when the women got to the tomb, Jesus was not there, and he hadn't been there for 3 days. Somebody said, well, the angel rolled back the stone so he could get out. Wrong. Rolled back the stone so they could see in. because Jesus doesn't need an angel to do anything for him. As you read right after the resurrection, when the disciples are meeting in the upper room, afraid of the Jews, so what do? They go in an upper room in an attic somewhere and make sure all the doors and the windows are locked, so nobody can come in on them. And all of a sudden, there stands Jesus. He didn't hear a door slam. He didn't hear a window creak. You know why? Because he walked through the wall. You say, that sounds like the outer limits or something like, no, that's God. Jesus can do anything he wants to. Well, here come these women. There are two of them mentioned here in Matthew. Now, if you read the other Gospels, you'll find that other women are mentioned. Somebody said, well, then there must be a contradiction in the Scripture. Absolutely not. All it simply means is that there were different women that came at different points on resurrection morning. But here in Matthew, here comes Mary Magdalene. You remember her from Mark chapter 6, where she has seven demons cast out of her. I mean, she was wild, wild, wild. And Jesus passed by and exorcised those demons out of her. And she got born again, and she's followed Jesus ever since. She was there at the crucifixion. She was right there at the cross. And now, early on that morning, she goes down to take care of some business by anointing the body of Jesus. So they said, well, then she didn't have faith. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody were to tell you that a family member of yours was going to die and then 3 days later was going to raise from the dead, what would you think? Now, you see, we have the great opportunity to look back on what's already happened. These folks were in prime time. I mean, they were experiencing it as it happened. And so here comes Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Who's that? Well, that's Lazarus's sister.
Yeah.
And boy, they knew something about resurrection, didn't they? Because Jesus went and got Lazarus right out of the grave one day. So they understood. So they're going down there to anoint the body of Jesus for his burial. Well, they get down there and the stone has been moved. Now, notice, if you would, the approach of the women. In Matthew 28, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to do what? To see. Does it say they came to see Jesus? Oh, that's a 50-50 question right there. Does it say they came to see Jesus? No. It says they came to see the sepulcher. Sounds to me like they were expecting something to happen. They went to see the sepulcher. You see, some of you are here today, and I'm glad you're here. Please do not misunderstand what I say. I'm tickled to death that you're here with us at Anchor. You know, a lot of people go to church on Easter Sunday just to see. They want to see what everybody's wearing. They want to see how everybody's new hairstyle is for the spring. I've been this way for 35 years. I'm just waiting for it to fall out so I can have a new hairstyle. Say amen right there. Some people come to see who's there. I can't believe they went to church today. We've been trying to get them there for years. Well, some people come to, you know what I came to see today? I came to see God work at Anchor Baptist Church. That's why I'm here. Listen, what you wear is not the issue today. It's who you know. It's that you know you're going to heaven when you die. These ladies had met Jesus in their life, and he had done a great work in their life and saved both of them. And they knew that he was the Son of God. And so they came to see the sepulcher. Then notice, the Bible also says, as they went down there, turn, hold your place there. Turn to Mark real quickly. Let's read just a moment, a bit of Mark's account, because I want you to see something else the women did while they were there. I'm making statements in the message that I want you to see in Scripture, but you know that I'm not just making this story up. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1. In Mark's account of this moment, verse 1, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So they came to see the sepulcher because they knew something was going to happen, but they came prepared to do something else. See, they first came to look. But while they were going, they decided if they needed to, they would labor. They would do the work of the funeral director. Now, they didn't have funeral homes back then. It was always the family or somebody was chosen to do the work of embalming and anointing. Now, the Jews did not do like the Egyptians did, where they mummified a body, but they would take sweet spices. And by the way, the same spices were presented to baby Jesus on Christmas morning. frankincense, and myrrh. They were used as an embalming. That, see, the birth of Christ was also prophecy of his death, because they used the embalming or the preparation spices. They gave it to a, you don't give a baby embalming fluid because he's going to live. Jesus didn't come to live. He came to die. And his mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That's like a grave shroud. You're not gonna put a baby in a coffin, because there it's a new life. But Jesus came to die, born to die that man might live. Came to earth, new life to give. Born of Mary, born so low many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave the only begotten one, that to a wicked, sinful earth he came with life, or in life and new birth. So you see, Jesus came to die. Those ladies went to look. They went to labor. Then notice in John chapter 20. Look at John's account quickly. John, the Gospel of John. We're going to stay right here, so we don't have to go too far from place to place. John chapter 20. Notice verse number 11. John chapter 20, verse number 11. The Bible said, but Mary stood, and this is Mary Magdalene, Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. Now she has just seen that he's not there. She has just heard the angel said he is risen. Now, she's not weeping for sadness. I guarantee you there's some joy in her heart. But she came prepared to do something, and now she's overwhelmed with the idea, I don't have to do this. I came to labor and to look. He's not here, and I don't need these spices for embalming. So she begins to weep. And what does she do? She just hangs around. She stood there. She didn't run off. She stood right there. Look what it says. She was weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now somebody said, well, that shows her lack of faith. Listen, if I was there and had seen the empty sepulcher, I'd look several times. I don't know what she's looking for, but the Bible said, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet. I mean, there's some angels hanging around that place. And the slab that he was on, there's two at one end, one at the other. Kind of like you'd see an honor guard when a president is lying in state. A man, the king of the universe, was lying in state. He deserved at least an honor guard. Amen? So she looks in, and there are the angels standing there. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? He said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. I'm glad God could get your attention with one word. Mary. Boy, all of a sudden her mind went back to that chapter in Mark, where she was full of devils. Jesus passed by and cast out all those devils. And the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Oh, listen, the same thing happened in the upper room, remember, with Thomas. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe till I can touch the wounds. I'm not going to believe till I can run my hand into the side that was riven. And so Jesus shows up, and Thomas is there, and he looks at Thomas. He said, Thomas, that's all it took. Now he offered, he said, Thomas, go ahead. Reach your hand out. Touch my wounds. Run your fist into my side. All it took was to hear the Lord say, Thomas. One of these days, thank God, are you ready? One of these days, and it could be today, that same Jesus that said Mary, and she knew him, the same one that said Thomas, and he knew him, the same one in Revelation that said John, and he knew him, is going to come back, thank God, with a trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and we're going to hear him say, come up hither. And those of us that are saved will know that voice and say, we're going home, and boom, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. See, these women, they came not just to look and to labor, but they came to linger. Boy, isn't it good? One of these days we get to heaven, we won't ever have to leave. Hallelujah. We just get to hang around for all eternity. I mean, man, we'll have all the time we want to love on Jesus. We'll have all the time we want to look God in the face. We'll have all the time we want to converse with the Holy Ghost. We'll have all the time we want to hear how Moses part of that Red Sea, and how Jeremiah wept over Israel, and how Elisha brought those bones back to life. We'll get to hear about Peter being crucified upside down and being in jail, and Paul and Silas, all the saints of old. We'll get to hear from the martyrs who gave their lives for the gospel before we got here. And best of all, we get to see one another, and we'll get to enjoy all of heaven. Thank God, because He lives, we can approach. Notice number two quickly back in the text, Matthew 28. Notice not only see the approach of the women, but we also see the activity of the angel. The activity of the angel. Notice in verse 2 of chapter 28, and I got to hurry. The Bible said, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, this is unusual. And the reason I say that, and I've studied this a little bit, and I'm not 100% sure yet, but I think I am. Well, I'm not going to say for a certainty that this is it. This is what I think. Jesus died, went into the grave, and then left because He had some things to take care of. First, He went to heaven where the Ark of the Covenant is. Yeah, the one that Moses built. Why they can't find it, it's not here. I believe it's in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And Jesus took His own blood, Hebrews said, and poured it on the mercy seat. And God, for the last time, accepted sacrifice and said, this is the one I've been waiting for. And God pronounced on the human race, they'll just trust in My Son. Innocent. Then He had, you know, He made a promise while He was dying, and He never breaks a promise. So first He presents His blood on the mercy seat, and God accepts it. Now, any whosoever will can be saved. But then He said, oh, I got an appointment. And so guess where He went? He went from heaven above to paradise. Now, paradise and Hades are the two holding places for souls who died before the cross. You remember when Jesus was dying on the cross, and the thief said, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him? Today, Thou shalt be with Me in paradise. In other words, Jesus said, I must first go and present My blood. And then I got to keep a promise I made. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Adam, and Eve, and Abel, and all those Old Testament saints, and every believer up to the day of Calvary. And so what did He do? He went, and if you read the Revelation, it tells us that He went into hell. That's not the lake of fire. Nobody's there yet. But if you're lost without Christ and die that way, that's where you're headed. He went to Hades, where Satan was. And you've heard me make this analogy. It's kind of like Alvin Glen Detention Center compared to the state prison. It's still jail. It's just not quite as bad. So He goes down there, and guess what He did? Got the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. And then He unlocked the gates of paradise. And the Bible says in Acts that He led captivity to. So that means about the time He turned the key in the lock, the thief that was beside Him said, He's here. He told me, come get me. Hey, Abraham, He's here. Moses, He's here. He's unlocking the gate right now. Let's go. And the Bible says that after the resurrection, that there were saints who had resurrected with Jesus and walked around the streets of Jerusalem for a little while. Now, how would you like to bump into Moses out here? You're on your way out to your car after the service. There's a guy leaning up against your car, but he looks a little unusual. He says, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? He said, I'm just waiting on you. Well, who are you? I'm Moses. 911. Before you get home, you go down here to Rush's. Somebody holds the door for you when you go in. Boy, he's a strange-looking bird. Wonder who that is. Excuse me, sir. Who are you? Paul? Paul who? Paul the Apostle. 911. I mean, you'd keep 911 busy. And after a while, they'd say, look, they're calling us. That's what happened. It's in the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then you're not going to believe what I'm saying. Can I tell you something before I move on? You leave this world, you'll believe what I'm saying. And you meet Him face to face, you'll believe everything. The thing is, you can believe it now and enjoy it when you get there instead of being surprised when you get there. Amen? And so the activity, He rolls the stone away. That's the first obstacle. See, the stone was there that said, He's gone forever. They rolled that big stone there. They knew no one person could move it. Several people couldn't move it. They were saying, He's gone forever. Well, the stone is moved. That's the first obstacle. And you'll notice He removed the soldiers. The Bible says that when the soldiers heard what was going on, It says they fell down like dead men. They fainted. These big, brave, brawny, masculine soldiers. Boy, they heard and saw, they saw that rock moving and nobody touching it. And their knees got to knocking and their head got to swimming. And the next thing you know, all of them passed out on the ground. Yeah. Lord never laid a finger on them. Scared them to death almost. That's what the Bible says. So what did he do? He put the soldiers there. Make sure he couldn't get out. Well, that obstacle's been removed because not only is he not gone forever, he got out. And then you'll notice the last thing that he did was he reminded the saints. That angel begins to tell. Now, here's what I was telling you a moment ago. Whenever you read about the angel of the Lord in Scripture, it's always a reference to Jesus Christ incarnate. Here, the angel of the Lord is mentioned here. And it's not an angel of the Lord. Remember, the is a definite article, meaning that whatever follows that word is the best there is. The Bible said the angel of the Lord. Jesus went to heaven, poured out his blood, settled our salvation. Went down to paradise and got all that bunch he promised if they put their faith in him that he would take them to heaven one day. He's done that. And now, he's already been and gone. I believe he took the time to come back and tell whoever was there that he was his. Again, I wouldn't, if you held a gun to my head, I wouldn't swear to it, but that's just what I think. So, and I know I'm not supposed to preach my opinion. I understand that. But I've been in this thing a little while. What I'm trying to do is let you know how unusual and great. He never does anything by the norm. He always does things abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so we find that he reminds the saints by saying, he's coming back. He's coming back. He reminded us of our past, of the past, which was the crucifixion, the present. Jesus' death, which is payment for sin. The promise that his death and resurrection is not a surprise. The proof in verse 6, the empty tomb. Oh, by the way, she stooped down and looked in there. She's looking for something, and I've told this before, so I'm not going to spin my wheels here. When they looked in, the Bible says over in Mark, I believe it was, that the grave clothes were laying where they were. Now, if you're wrapped up in some kind of a garment, and somebody comes in, steal you, wake you up, or they would take the stuff. In other words, it would be disheveled, probably thrown to one side. His grave clothes, right where he laying, as though he just, whoop, disappeared out of them. Really? You mean I gave up my Sunday morning to listen to this? Exactly what happened. Here's the reason. Not only was he not there because he just resurrected, but the napkin they put over his face was not laying there. It was over here. Hold it. Now, if I'm stealing something, I'm not going to take the time to clean up after myself, unless I'm trying to, you know, wipe away my finger, give it away. Sorry, Shelton. He's a policeman. I better not talk about this. I might be on live PD. But anyway, you're not going to take the time to clean up and fix. Oh, but the Bible says when they looked in, there were his grave clothes where he was, just there. And over here, a napkin. You know the story. Several times when a person sat at the dinner table and they got up to be dismissed for some reason, if they were done and were leaving and not coming back to the table, they'd throw their napkin down on the table. But if they were just going to the restroom or going out to do whatever, but they were coming back, it would fold the napkin neat. And that told everybody else, I'm not going to be gone for good. I'm coming back. Mary said, my, that napkin's folded neat. All of a sudden, in her mind, she heard Jesus say, I'm coming back. He's coming back. The angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you see go away shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thank God he's alive. There's the appearance of the Savior, and I'm just going to, because we got to go. Verse 9 and 10, appearance of the Savior when he meets with Mary Magdalene. And there's the allegations. Remember what I said in the beginning? He always has a counter. He's always got some story. Now, we know what the Bible says about the resurrection. We believe it the way it's recorded. By the way, if you don't believe it the way it's recorded, then you're not a Christian. You can't be saved and not believe in the resurrection. Amen. That's right. I don't believe you can. Because if you are, you're so backslid, like Himenaeus, I don't know, wonder about old Himenaeus, to be honest with you. But hey, listen, if you don't believe the gospel, you can't be born again Christian. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. We find the allegations of the enemy in verse 11. As always, not everybody's excited that Jesus is alive. Pharisees hated it, the Sadducees hated it, the soldiers hated it, Pilate hated it, Herod hated it, the Jews hated it. They thought they were done with this right-wing conservative nut job.
Oh, no,
not at all. See, he told this lie. So they paid the soldiers, hey, anybody ask, you tell them somebody came and took him during the night. By the way, that's probably why Mary said what she did, thinking he was the gardener. Just tell me where they took him. Tell a lie long enough, loud enough, and to enough people, they'll believe. That's what Hitler said in World War II.
Right.
And so the lie was told. Told. Notice, the problem wasn't that he was wrong. The problem was that they now know that he was right and they wrong. Kind of sounds like our political system these days, huh? Isn't it amazing how people get mad when they find out they're wrong? We never want to admit we're wrong. We get so mad at the person who's right, we're going to do whatever we can to destroy them just because we feel bad that we're wrong. Dave, come on. I know, look, it's time is 12. I got to watch. Give you an extra 30 minutes tonight. You'll be all right, I promise. You'll be all right. The problem was he was right and they were wrong. The plan? Let's make up a lie, cover up the truth. Let's avoid the facts. We don't have to face them. Let's put darkness. The Bible said it'll happen in the last days. People will be blinded. Dark. Don't want to believe it. No, they want Easter story like we all. We don't mind watching King of Kings on Easter Sunday. A little religious movie. The Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah. I'll even sit down and watch that with my kids. We'll have a real religious. And Charlton Heston walks down with a white beard because he saw God. You know there are people that believe that's how it happened? That's a Hollywood movie. It didn't happen that way. So they want to believe or plan to make up a lie. And then there's the perjury. Those soldiers told them, the disciples came and sold them away. And then the Pharisees said, we'll tell the governor that case he's wondering. We'll fix it for you, because they knew they'd been found out, they would have been killed because their prisoner had gotten away. They had nothing to do with it. You know, I've told you this and I'm done. There are people today that have certain ideas of how all this really happened. Swoon theory. I cannot believe that people actually believe that when Jesus was on the cross that he fainted. That's what they believe, that he swooned. That's what the girls used to do when the Beatles sang. I've never had one girl do that for me while I'm preaching. Not even my wife. They actually believe that Jesus, instead of dying because he'd lost a lot of blood and all that, that he just fainted so badly that everybody thought that he was dead. They put him in the grave and he revived. He woke up and got out. So that wasn't really him. There are some people who believe in another tomb. That the tomb we're talking about here wasn't the one they put him in, because he's still in the one they put him in. I got news for you, honey. Wherever they put him, he's not there. He's not there! Mohammed's there. Confucius is there. Amen. Hare Krishna's there. Every god of this world that ever had a life is still there. Thank God. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints. Don't pay no attention to the world. If it's not coming out of the Bible, pay it no mind. I'm glad on First Resurrection Sunday, business picked up on planet Earth. And if you're not saved here today, that's the only way you'll get to heaven. By believing that Jesus Christ was and is the only begotten Son of God. That he was perfect. He was sinless. He died in your place and mine. He was buried and rose again on the third day, according to the Scripture. 40 days later, he went back to heaven. He ascended back to heaven. There he is. The Bible said he's sitting there right now making intercession. If you're not saved, all you got to do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that same Jesus that spoke to Mary will save. If you're not right with God, not been serving the Lord, you need to get right with God. This world is so full of junk, it'll snatch you from serving God, and it'll get you before you know it. A young man in our church I went to see yesterday, I'll just tell you, I'll be like Paul, Ed Collins. Won't you pray for Chad? He had a lot of trouble with drugs before he got saved. Back on him. I went to talk to him yesterday. I begged his church, begged him. I would, just like any, when you get, listen, when I was a young preacher, I would so judge people like that. I thought, my gracious, I never did it. I found out in my first church where I pastored a bunch of adults, got saved out of drugs. Stuff's hard to kick. It so has a whole life. You say, well, then he must not have got saved. You don't know that. If that's the case, then since you got saved, you've never sinned. Because his drugs, or you're lying, or you're not tithing, or you're not being faithful to God, in God's eyes, that's all just as... And I told him, I said, Chad, look at me, bud. I'm a sinner just like you are. He said, well, you don't understand, preacher. You didn't have the life I had. No, I didn't, but I was going to the same hell he was. Why don't you pray for him? And you know, I'm not... I don't know if he's watching it, but I'm not trying to embarrass him. You got to pray for that boy. I believe God was doing something in his life. And Satan, listen, Satan will tell you to get you to go back. You know, he can't get your soul, but he can ruin your testimony. Oh, man. I just hardly think. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we love you. I sure appreciate the
folks being so attentive today in our service. The visitors that are here, I'm so glad they came. I mean that from my heart. I'm so glad they came. Lord, I pray that something I might have said today might have touch their heart in some way. Not because I said it, because God gave it to me to say. Lord, I pray for that sinner that's here without Christ. Lord, they may have something in their life that's holding them back. Something that keeps them from saying yes to Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll reveal that it's nothing more than a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It won't give them joy. It won't even make them happy. So Lord, I pray they'll come to Christ this morning. Others who just need to get right with God. Maybe just need to say, Lord, I've walked away. I've done some things, but I'm glad 1 John 1:9 still works. I want to confess my sin. I want you to forgive me. Get me back where I was. Let me start over again, Lord, like the prodigal did. Others may have needs or desires upon their heart today. Speak to them. Help them to come to this altar and get it right with God. Love you and thank you for Easter Sunday. Bless now the invitation in Christ's name. Amen.